Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
I want to give you three main points here today that really tie into the title of my message, which is We Must Remember. We must remember. There are three things that I would like to see in this passage of Scripture that deals with the nation of Israel, but I want to make the application to our country here today, especially as we come to the celebration of the 4th of July on Thursday, and we really wrap our minds around the fact that we are truly a blessed people. We are a blessed country, the United States of America. The first thing that I want you to see is that we must remember our biblical heritage. We must remember our biblical heritage. We see this in verses 2, 3, and 4. And the Bible here, the psalmist, he reiterates the importance of God's people remembering the heritage that they have. Now, specifically, again, this is dealing with the nation of Israel. That's the historical context of Psalm 78. But we certainly can make the application that we as Americans, we must not forget the biblical heritage that we have here in our country. We must not forget that the national blessings that we have today, the blessings that we enjoy, all of those blessings come from God. Psalm 33 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." We are not blessed today because we have religion, folks. India, with its millions of gods, has not been blessed like we have in America. Africa, with its witchcraft, has not been blessed like we have in America. China, with all of its idolatry, has not been blessed like we have in America. Folks, we do not have religion, but we are reminded that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We have not been blessed because of a God, but because of the God. The Babylonians' god of gold fell with the writing of God's finger upon the wall. The Romans worshiped power, and yet peace fell apart as they could not govern themselves. The Spaniards, they worshiped conquest, and they went into oblivion. The Germans worshiped science and fell to the science of war. France tied the word of God to the tail of a donkey and drove it out of the city. And in its place, they put a picture of a naked prostitute. Russia worshiped atheism, and their doom is outlined in Scripture. The Bible says that a nation is blessed when God is their Lord, the one true living God. No other nation on earth except Israel has had such a biblical heritage as the United States. What I'm about to share with you, you will not hear in our public educational system. Our culture will not talk about the biblical heritage that we have in our country. You will only hear it and see it whenever you walk through the streets of Washington, D.C., and you see all the monuments, and you read all of the inscriptions, and you begin to truly do the research and understand the history of the United States of America. Our founding fathers were not just religious, moral, or good people, but they were Bible-believing, born-again believers in Jesus Christ. The early colonists gave very, very strict attention to the education of their children, not only in the home. And by the way, that's really where education rests, is on the shoulders of the home, but also at church and in the public educational system of the New World. But it was the Sunday school. You say, why do we have Sunday school and our ABF hour at 9 o'clock. Do you realize that the Sunday school has always been important in the life of America? If you go all the way back in history, you'll find out that it was the Sunday school that spearheaded the entire system of public education. The first schools that were established in America were for the primary purpose of teaching the Word of God. In other words, we felt like it was important that our young people know the Word of God. Now, we have a different educational system today. We have an educational system that has thrown the Word of God out the window. They have ripped the Ten Commandments off the walls of our schools all across America. We have a culture and a system today that has said we don't need the Word of God. That is just the opposite of the way our founding fathers thought. They felt that it was important to establish this new country upon the precepts and the principles of this book. And they felt like the educational system needed to be primarily about teaching the truth of God's Word to young people. The New England Primer was a Bible primer, and it became the school book of the masses for literally generations and the most popular book in the early colonies. By it, they learned the alphabet, they learned reading, they learned writing, and they were taught that for over 100 years in American history. The first colleges in the United States were founded for the purpose of educating men for the ministry. Out of the 10 oldest educational institutions in America, 9 were founded by churches. 95% of the colleges and the universities in America today were founded by Christian bodies of faith. My dear friend, you need to understand that atheism and liberalism have not built these institutions, but they are certainly stealing them away. We need to understand that at a very crucial moment when our founding fathers were working on the Constitution of America, Benjamin Franklin rose to his feet and he spoke these words. In the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Imagine that, prayer going on. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. And have we now forgotten this powerful capital F-R-I-E-N-D, friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? And then Benjamin Franklin said this, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth. God governs in the affairs of men." That was true when Benjamin Franklin spoke at those words, and it is still true today. I still believe that we have a sovereign God. I believe that God is still in control, and I believe that God's plan and God's purpose, God's will be worked out in the history and the nation of the United States. Did you know that the Declaration of Independence, there is four references to God, not to the multiplicity of gods, but rather to the one true living God. Even those from the outside who were looking at this country could see that it had a biblical heritage and a biblical foundation. In 1831, one of the French statesmen that came over here to visit the United States on an official visit said these words, "I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there." We heard a little bit of this on the video at the beginning of the service. "In the fertile fields and boundless prairies, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America, and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness, did I understand the secret of her genius and power. What made America great, I believe, will still make America great today, and that is where we return to God, and we return to a commitment to His Word, and we embrace the truth of the Bible, and we live out those precepts and principles in our lives. One time, ambassador to the United Nations from Lebanon said this, and I quote, "The good in the United States would never have come into being without the blessing and the power of Jesus Christ." Wow. Outsiders could see why this nation was blessed. Have we forgotten what gives us the blessing of America? It's God. It's living according to His Word. It's standing on the foundation of God's truth, the Word of God. I say all that to say this. As Americans, we must remember our biblical heritage. I also say all of that to say this. We must remember that this nation was founded so that men and women could worship freely the one true living God and live their lives according to the truth of His Word. We must remember that this nation, the United States of America, was founded upon biblical precepts. We must not forget our biblical heritage. Number two, we must remember to communicate this biblical heritage to our children. Now we see this in verse 5. Go back to Psalm 78 and verse 5. "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." Psalm 9 and verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Oh, I pray that America will not become a nation that forgets God. But as we look out upon our culture today, it does really seem that we have forsaken God and we have forsaken His Word, and we have decided that we will establish our own rules for how we live and how we govern this land. But we must get back to God. God is what has made our nation the great nation that it is. I can assure you that if we as Christian parents, if we don't communicate our biblical heritage to our children, they will not learn about it in the public educational system. As a matter of fact, that biblical heritage is being erased out of our educational system. We as parents, we have the responsibility to teach our children that the United States of America didn't just coincidentally come into existence, but it was founded by men and women who believed in the God of the Bible. I believe that we are ordained by God to be in existence today, the United States of America. And they have all paid a price. There is a price for the freedom that we enjoy today. The choir was singing a little bit about that here this morning, about the price that was paid. The actual signing of the document of the Declaration of Independence, in that day and time, under British law or under any other law, it was a formal act of treason against the crown. But I want you to know that the signers of the Declaration of Independence, with unwavering commitment, they pledged, and I quote, "For the support of this declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Have you ever wondered what happened to the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? Have you ever heard what happened to those men? We have heard of the Declaration of Independence. We know that there were signers, because many times we have seen copies of the Declaration of Independence. We have seen all of those names that have been signed at the bottom. Have you ever stopped to think what happened to those 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? Well, 9 died of wounds or hardships during the Revolutionary War. Five were captured and imprisoned with brutal treatment. Several of them lost their wives, their sons, and their daughters. All were at one time or another the victims of manhunts and driven from their homes. 12 had their houses burned to the ground. 17 lost everything they owned. But not a one of them, I repeat, not a one of them defected or went back on his pledged word. One of the signers, whose name was John Hart, H-A-R-T. If you look at the Declaration of Independence, you will see his name there as one of the signers. He was driven from his wife's bedside as she was lying there dying. When that happened, their 13 children fled for their lives. His entire property was demolished and destroyed. And after fleeing for his life and living in the forest in a cave for more than a year, he came back home only to learn that his wife had died and his children had completely vanished. A few weeks later, after returning home, he died from exhaustion and he died of a broken heart. My friend, we must not forget that freedom is never free. Freedom is never free. We need to remember, we need to honor those who sacrificed their lives to protect the freedom that we have as Americans. We need to honor the U.S. military, the personnel who are serving our country, not only here in the United States, but all around the world. They are making great sacrifices today so that you and I can enjoy the freedoms, so that you and I can enjoy all the celebration on July 4th, all because of them fighting for our country. Many of you, no doubt, have family members who are serving in the U.S. military. If you do, would you raise your hand, please? Look at all those hands. Keep them up. Raise them high into the air. Do you see how the U.S. military affects our congregation right here? You may put your hands down. I've got a boy that is serving in the U.S. Navy. And I'll tell you, I think very differently, and I know Jake would say the same because he has a boy in the Navy as well, but we think very differently now today than maybe we did prior to having a son in the Navy. But we need to thank the Lord for those who are serving our country. I remind you again, freedom is never, ever free. I'm proud to be an American. Jake and I often talk about going to those boot camp celebrations and graduations, and you cannot sit through that and not cry. I tell you, if you don't cry and get emotional, then boy, I tell you what, your emotional feelers are broken. Amen. It gets you really rah-rah. Boy, you're just excited that you're an American. You're proud to be an American. I'm proud of our flag. We have the United States flag up here on this platform every week. Every week. It's usually back in the back there where we have the Christian flag on that side by the curtain and the flag of America over there. But I'll tell you this, I'm proud of our flag. I don't think you ought to burn our flag. I think you need to hold it high with pride and thank the Lord that we are Americans. I'm proud to be identified with a nation that has been so, so blessed by God. We must remind our children on a regular basis of the great Christian heritage, the biblical history that we have here in the United States of America. If we as parents don't communicate that information, they will not get it out there in our culture and in our society. We are living in a culture that is trying to erase any reference to God, any reference to the Bible, any reference to Christianity. Whenever they're trying to get you to change from Christmas to Happy Holidays, and they can actually have a school function where they have about 10 songs that the kids will sing, and not a one of them mention Jesus Christ at all, and yet they're celebrating Happy Holidays. Boy, I tell you what, we're living in a country that has strayed from God. We have strayed from our biblical heritage. And we as parents, we've got to communicate to our children that biblical heritage. Number three, we must remember why this is all so important. Why is all this so important? Why is it important for us not to forget our biblical heritage. Why was it important for the nation of Israel not to forget their biblical heritage? Why is it so important that we pass this information, that we pass this heritage, this history that we know? Why is it important that we pass it on to the next generation, to our children? Well, look at verse 7 again. Psalm 78, verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That verse gives us three reasons why this is so important. Number one, so that the future generation will put their hope in God. Do you see it there? That's what the verse says, that they, that is this generation and the next generation, that they might set their hope in God. Yes, we must be responsible citizens and we need to do our part, especially when it comes to voting. I believe that is a privilege and a responsibility that every last one of us has. If you are of voting age, you ought to be out to the polls and you ought to be voting. That is important. But at the same time, can I say something very dogmatic? Our hope is not in a political party. Our hope is not in Washington, D.C. Our hope is in God. And that's what we've got to communicate to not only this generation, but to the next generation. Yes, we need to be responsible citizens. We need to do our part, and we need to vote, and we need to be upright, and we need to set the example as God's people in a culture that no longer believes in God. But at the same time, we've got to communicate loud and clear, God is our hope. God is our hope. More than D.C. and more than any political leader, we need to return to God. That's what we need. God is our only hope, folks. We've got to understand that. That's why our prayers are so vitally important. When is the last time you prayed for our country? So often we're just living our lives and maybe we watch the news or we read the newspaper and we say, oh, this is horrible and this is happening in our country. When is the last time you stopped and you prayed and you asked for God's grace and God's mercy upon this country? When is the last time you prayed seeking God's face that he would bring about a revival in our churches across this land? I read about some of the things that are happening in various denominations. I was just doing that yesterday as I was scrolling through the app on Fox News and looking at some of the news items, the highlights. And there I read about denominations who are now accepting homosexuals and marrying them and ordaining them and making them a part of the church. And I think to myself, we have gone a long ways from the truth of God's word. We have strayed. We are living in troublesome times, and we've got to communicate God is our hope. That's why when you come to church, there's got to be the preaching of God's word. You can't just come to church and go through the motions and just sort of have a little talk with the people. But I believe that it's important that we communicate the Word of God in all of our ministries here at Canton Baptist Temple. Whether we're talking about our Sunday school hour or our Sunday morning or our electives, our Forever Young, our children's ministries, our camp ministry, all that we do around here has got to be centered around the Word of God and communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ just as clearly as we can. People need Jesus. And that's why our ministry exists right here in this community, so that we can preach the gospel, share the gospel with those who desperately need it. Number two, in verse 7, we see a second reason why, and that is the next generation needs to know what God has done in the history of America. The verse says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. If we don't communicate that biblical heritage to this generation, then that generation loses that information and they're not able to communicate it to the next generation. And literally, we are a couple of generations away from people literally not knowing anything at all about the biblical heritage and history of the United States. We've got that responsibility. We have that duty to pass that information on to the next generation and to the next generation so that they will understand the biblical heritage. Number three, look at the verse again. The verse says, but keep his commandments. We must encourage this generation. We must encourage the next generation to live their lives according to the truth of God's word. In this day and time, to live your life according to this book means you're swimming upstream. This book is no longer popular. If you answer somebody and say, this is why I don't do that, because I'm a Christian and because I believe the Bible is the Word of God and I'm committed to living my life according to the truth of this book, they'll look at you like you've lost your mind. That's the generation. That's the culture that we're living in. But we've got to instill courage and passion into our children and into our grandchildren that the way to live life is to live life the way God says to live life and to be committed to the truth of this book. That's why we've got to teach our kids the Word of God, and we got to teach them to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to meditate, and to apply the truths of this book to their lives. Folks, God is our hope, and we must return to where we stand upon the foundation of this book, the Bible. And I challenge each one of you to rededicate yourself to being a God-fearing, God-honoring Christian who is committed to the Bible. You say, well, others out there aren't doing that. It doesn't matter what others are doing. It's the old statement from years ago, and I don't know who said it, but one plus God makes up a majority, right? You and God. Committing yourself to live for Him. To a great degree, the future of our country rests upon our decision to live for God and to embrace the principles of His Word and to communicate those principles to this generation and to the next. We must remember.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.